We got into that because you were selling Ameristar in 2013.
Yeah, we had went through 12 years, 13 years of Gina getting her where she's at today. Gina's also responsible for Rejoice.
That's the school.
We can talk about that later, but I never really wanted to sell the business because I had a good management team, but I had also bought Shangri-La, mostly because I wanted to do something else. And before Gina was born, I was going to the Bahamas in the Caribbean. I had already tested an 85-foot Hatteras, going to hire me a couple of guys, captain and a mate, and I was going to spend some time on that boat playing golf in the Caribbean and all the nice restaurants, being at a different island every night and a different lady. That's where I was going. Then she pops up. About 4 months later, I've been with her every night. My cousin called me up and said, listen, we need to get out of the house, go play some golf. So we went up to Shangri-La. Now, I used to go up there occasionally and spend the night and play a little round. We were on the go course there on the back nine, and there was a house right there on the tee box. Had a for sale sign, had a little dock down there and stuff. And I told my cousin, I said, this is what I need to do. I need to get a place up here. We can get on the lake. Of course, I was already burnt out on the lake when me and the boys lived at Keystone. But I said, I can play golf, get away from the office, and get my daughter up here. And so I was up there the next week, but I ended up buying a house at the Chateaus, Shangri-La. The guy that owned it was going downhill. He didn't want to put any money in it, and I bought the place. Why, I don't know. It'll never make any money. This year, it's going to make a little bit. Next year, it'll do better. But to pay it back is 20 years. So, John, it is not a business that I would ever get into. I like to make a profit. But the family liked it, and I knew I wasn't going to the Caribbean. Then I got a phone call about this company that was interested. And I said, well, I've turned down so many people. Yeah, but this is different. They've got tons of money, and they have been looking at you for a few years. It's a company called ASSA. Now, their home office is Sweden, but 60% of their business is North America. ASSA Abloy. Now, it's ASSA Ameristar. So I said, well, okay, bring them in here. The CEO from Sweden came over. The president of North America, Nassau, from New York, came down. We gave him a walkthrough on a Saturday because I didn't want anybody else to know. You know, I knew what my business was worth. First of all, it was a very highly profitable business, huge margins that you just don't hear of. And I follow religiously about 80 companies on the stock market. I really wanted to get rid of this group. So I spent that Saturday with them. At the time, we were doing $150 million a year. That was 2012. Today, they're about $230 million. That's not a real big company, but when you look at the kind of margins we were making with an EBITDA of 30%, my God, you know, you walk away at 30% every year. That really got their attention. At the time, I think they were about a $6 billion company. They make doorknobs, but high-quality doorknobs all over the world. They manufacture product, kind of steel product, and they put coatings on it, and they sell it to home centers and contractors, so it was kind of like the same business. They write off through a multiplier of, I think it was 9. A multiplier is a number times your net dollars after all expenses, depending on what it is. A grocery store might sell for a multiplier of 4. Somebody that just developed a product that cures cancer would be 50. Okay, so it's huge. But a manufacturer with proprietary products on the market today, 8, 9, 10 multiplier. Well, we kept talking to them. They kept coming back. And they ended up with a number that was shocking.
You said they had cash. They wired an enormous amount of money.
Yeah, never forget that day.
Tell us about that day.
Okay, we had finally come to a number, and here again, I didn't want to sell. I didn't have to sell, so I just held out. We even ended up, we were $30 million apart. One of my top managers, Barry Willingham, said, why don't we do an earnout? I thought, what? And then it hit me. I knew what he meant. They said, an earnout. I said, yeah, we told you we're going to do $200 million in the second year. And we had other goals. I said, you guys come in here and you think, boy, these are unbelievable profits, and, you know, it's a very wealthy company here, but you don't believe that it's going to continue to grow without me. Everybody here is staying. They'll do just fine. So I challenged them for that $30 million. The business, our Barry Willingham, because he took over CEO of the company, it's his responsibility, to hit that earnout the next 2 years, well, they blew it away. So we got the $30 million. I gave most of that to my employees.
$20 million, $30 million?
$20 million at first to everybody. You had to be there a year. Then it depended on how long you were there. You would get points up to 8 years, and then how much you made. I gave $20 million to my employees. A lot of guys, ladies, got $200,000, $150,000. One good story, there's a couple who met there. They had been there for a long time, and they couldn't have a baby. They got $80,000 each, went to Oklahoma City and did the fertilization. Now they got two babies.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. Taking you back again, you had a contract that you wouldn't sign unless the money came in first.
Yeah, let's go back to that day. It was all good, and we set up a closing date. The money was coming from their North America corporate headquarters in New York City, but the accounting firm somehow was in Canada, Toronto, I think. The money was coming from that bank. So we set up in my classroom up there, the intercom and everything, and we had Representative BOK in the office. They wired the money from that bank to BOK. Doc Jennings was there. Oh, and he brought two bottles of champagne. The intercom was on, and the Representative BOK says, the money's here. And that's when I took a deep breath and thought, did I make a mistake? You know, because once the money was there, nothing you could do.
Well, I'm too polite to ask you what that money was, and I'm sure you haven't divulged that publicly, and that's fine with me. But you had enough money to share with your employees, and then you had enough money. You keep talking about Rejoice, Rejoice Christian School.
Well, I gave more than the $20 million to my employees. My upper management team was about 15 people. They got half of that earnout. I had guys that got $1 million.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, Maristar was debt-free. I was debt-free. By that time, I'd made some investments, pretty good investments in different places. So Maristar wasn't all I had. And no, John, I've never revealed how much it was, but it was way up there. And here's the thing, too. I had the business for 32 years. I paid very little tax on that.
Because?
Because I had earned that money all along the way, and I'd already paid tax on all those earnings. Now, the real estate was a different story. I sold that real estate for $94 million, and I'd bought that real estate for pennies back then. But my total tax package was $62 million. With everything there, we cleared over $500 million.
The real estate, you paid $62?
No, I paid $62 million in taxes to the federal and state government on the sale of Ameristar.
Oh, okay. You did pay tax.
Yeah, yeah. You got to pay some tax on capital gains.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right.
But see, over all those years, you asked me where we put the money.
Yeah.
The first many years, I put it right back into the business. But after 04, when I built the montage plant, I was reinvesting that money elsewhere.
$62 million in
tax. Terry wrote the check. We still have a copy of that check.